513 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Marvel Chronology episode, and we're continuing to talk about Marvel Superhero Secret Wars number 2 from writer Jim Shooter, pencils by Al Milgrom, inks by Steve Lealoha, letters by Rosen and Parker, colors by Many Hands. So God and Man, Man and God is the final issue here, number 9. And it starts off with the Beyonder in deep space, contemplating all of existence. As we saw last issue, issue 8, he intends to destroy it. Well, better to say he intends to erase it. Its substance, its space, its denizens, its overlords, its conceptual beings, even death itself will be erased. Everything must go, even his own memory of it all. That's the tricky part. And so he descends to Earth as he's been walking across the solar system here. Meanwhile, in a roadside diner somewhere in Colorado, Marsha Rosenberg is trying to contact the Avengers, as she has been for quite some time. She wants to give them information about the Beyonder and his intention to destroy all of existence, but she's having a tough time getting through. Finally, she's able to contact the Fantastic Four, who are staying there with the Avengers, because as we know, the Avengers are out trying to stop the Beyonder as we speak. We saw that last issue, issue 8, also in the crossover issue of Avengers 265. So Marsha's telling them, the Fantastic Four, that is, that she used to live with Owen Reese, the Molecule Man, and how they were just another normal suburban couple until the Beyonder showed up a while back and Owen tried to befriend him, but now he was about to kill Owen and destroy all of existence, but Marsha was able to trick him. And ever since then, she's been trying to get a hold of the Avengers, but the line is always busy. So Mr. Fantastic tells her to stay there. They'll get there as soon as they can. He summons the rest of the Fantastic Four and says the situation's critical. And he laments that they no longer have the pogo plane, which would allow them to get to Marsha Rosenberg quickly. Now they're going to have to take conventional transportation. It's going to take forever. And suddenly, the Fantastic Four materialize right next to Marsha Rosenberg, along with a whole slew of other heroes. We've got Power Man and Iron Fist, the Hulk, the West Coast Avengers, including Wonder Man, Hawkeye, Mockingbird, Star Fox is there, Iron Man, Submariner, Captain America, Cloak, Dagger, Box from the Alpha Flight, Tiger is there, Snowbird from Alpha Flight, as well as the Black Knight, Scarlet Witch, Vision, and I'm not sure, let's see if I can see anyone else on the following page. Oh, Firebird, also from the West Coast Avengers, is there. Puck, Northstar, Aurora, Shaman. So pretty much every Wasp and the Captain Marvel, Monica Rambeau version. So pretty much every hero you can think of from the Marvel Universe. And then suddenly the X-Men appear as well. Shadowcat, the Rachel Summers Phoenix, Wolverine, Colossus, Rogue. And Rachel says, no who's who is complete without the X-Men. Hello, everybody. You're probably wondering why I called you here. So Mr. Fantastic's surprised, like, Rachel, you did this? Like, I'm assuming you gathered us all together to stop the Beyonder, and if that's the case, we should put the rest of our differences aside and work with the X-Men for now. And that's what Captain America says. And Wolverine's like, wow, real big of you, Captain America. Because again, at this time, the X-Men, you know, they're not on the best terms with the rest of the world right now. So Marsha says, I can help too, shows her Volcana persona. Rachel says, no, I've taken everything that I need to know from your mind. It's better if you simply go back home. We don't need anybody inexperienced to do this battle. And she basically disappears. So meanwhile, at that very moment in Denver, Molecule Man is inside his apartment, which is just trashed. And as Marsha reappears, she finds Molecule Man sitting in a chair and wonders what his condition might be. Because remember, the way she tricked the Beyonder into not killing Molecule Man was to tell the Beyonder that she didn't care what happened to Molecule Man. said, I never really loved him. He's a worm. He's nothing compared to you, Beyonder. Kill him if you want, but please let me go. And when Owen Reese, Molecule Man, heard this, he basically collapsed and was a broken man. And the Beyonder felt that he was so pathetic, he wasn't worth killing, and wandered off. So that's kind of the situation. So obviously, Marcia's concerned. She didn't really mean any of that. She just did it because she thought that it would be a way for the Beyonder to spare Owen Reese, the man that she actually loves, and that is indeed the case. So at the same time, several hundred miles to the north of Denver, Beyonder's flying around in a helicopter for some reason, trying to make himself feel better, and says, what's the use? Nothing's interesting to me anymore, not even gadgets like this helicopter. I need to do some thinking, but I can't concentrate up here. I'll go set it down someplace in private. And so he flies the helicopter toward the ground, says, I know I'll make myself a little underground sanctum. And as he's flying, he basically creates this cavern underground, seals it up, has 8 miles of rock between him and the rest of the world, and makes the helicopter disappear, has a comfy, easy chair appear for him to sit in. And then as he sits there thinking, he creates a television camera and says, maybe it'll help to talk it out. I'll get my thoughts down on tape, which is, you know, interesting and does date the story somewhat. So he starts giving a rundown on who he is, talks about the fact that he came from this other realm of the multiverse, and he opens a portal up to see that realm, to show that realm. Of course, there's nothing there because that place doesn't even really exist without him there. And he starts thinking about how he accidentally learned of this multiverse with all the heroes in it, and how this multiverse and this universe is made up of a lot of individual things, and by their very nature, because they are all disparate, they are incomplete by their very nature. And all the activity of this universe stems from this incompleteness. So his existence in this universe is desire. Everybody's incomplete and they want to feel complete. And so everything is driven by desire. And ever since the Beyonder came to this multiverse, even he is no longer alone. And so he therefore has become incomplete and therefore knows desire. And in his case, it screwed him up pretty bad because he's omnipotent. So he's in a unique situation as opposed to every other living thing in this universe, including the microbes, right? So being omnipotent, reality isn't really real to him because he can change reality on a whim. He says, I can decide granite is squeezably soft. It is. I can decide that cows have wings. They do. To put it another way, cows do not have wings because I don't want them to. He's literally a god. He can do anything, be anything, cause anything to happen, but he can't stop himself from having desire. He can't stop himself from being incomplete. So it's somewhat of a paradox, right? He says, to me, imagination and reality are indistinguishable because if I think of something, I can make it real or not. Everything is a figment of my imagination in a way. So there's no point to existence, right? Like, he exists and he's incomplete because he's an individual and he's only part of the whole, but he understands desire because there are other things. He is, in that way, a human being, and he experiences emotion and thought and all those things that go along with it, which includes things like desire and a feeling of being part of a whole rather than feeling complete and fulfilled. But because he's omnipotent, he can have anything he wants. You know, it would be likened to one of us, regular humans. You know, we might desire to be super healthy or have a lot of money or be famous or whatever it is that's your thing, right, that you love. We strive for that, and sometimes we make decisions in life based on that. We live our lives that way in hopes of someday attaining those goals. Well, the Beyonder can obtain those goals in the blink of an eye, but it doesn't do him any good because it never is fulfilling, right? And I imagine that that's actually part of human nature, to always strive and always want more, right? Even when you do set a goal, then you achieve it, you just set yourself another goal. And we've all grown up with that. We all understand that. We all understand that's part of the human condition. But the Beyonder, he can set himself a goal and then immediately accomplish it, and then set himself another goal and immediately accomplish it. And so it's like he's stuck on a hamster wheel, right? There's never any sense of fulfillment. He doesn't even get the momentary sense of fulfillment that we might get if we achieve a goal, because it comes so easy for him. The thing that he strives for, there's no effort, there's no struggle, so there's no appreciation when he does achieve it. Plus the fact that because he's omnipotent, he'll live forever. It's hard for something to have meaning when he literally is going to live forever and is going to have the ability to experience everything throughout the history of existence, right? So he has no way to solve his feelings of incompleteness or desire. It's like, I utterly dictate reality, but what do I need? Nothing, maybe literally. And I was free of desire back when I was all that there was. And therefore, if I erase all this existence, again, I will be all that there is. I will be all that exists. And so maybe then I won't feel this sense of incompleteness or this sense of desire. The problem is, I've also got to erase my memories of this existence, because just by me remembering it, it's going to stay real, right? So I've got to erase my own mind too. But then if I do that, am I dead? Am I no longer immortal? I don't remember anything before I became aware of this multiverse. So was I alive then, but just not aware? Or was I born as a being in that instant? Can one who's omnipotent even conceive of death? Or is it just peace that I want, a break from this feeling of desire? Should I wipe away all of existence and risk God death or not? That's something that I have to decide. Should I finally taste something that the mortals have that gives their existence some meaning, and that's the finiteness of it, right? The fact that they don't live forever. So the only way to do that is to actually make myself mortal. So that's what he decides to do. And he's like, I may regret this. I've taken human shape, but I've never truly been mortal. So I guess in order to be mortal, I need to be born into a human body. And I could take the time to have a human woman do that, but it's complicated and messy and it would take too long. And I easily can create a machine for that. And I love gadgets anyway. So he creates what he refers to as his mama machine. But before he puts himself into it, he thinks, well, maybe I should test it first. And so he gathers up all the remaining wisps of energy that composed the New Mutants. And we saw that in issue 37 of New Mutants that he basically erased the New Mutants from existence, including their memory, the memory of their existence from everyone else in existence. And he finds that there's really not that much left. It's like, wow, it's pretty darn thorough. But if this machine can remake the New Mutants from this little bit that's left, it should have no trouble processing my essence. And we see after a few moments that the machine is successful in creating the New Mutants again, and it also matures them to the level that the Beyonder wants, so they're all teenagers again. And the Beyonder thinks, well, nice little touches, the costumes, the hair, my mechanical mama's deluxe all the way, but these kids need to check out okay before I try it. And he realizes it's not bad, but they're kind of blank slates, like zombies, right? They won't be any trouble, but their minds aren't intact. So let me make some adjustments to the old mama machine to ensure I come out with my mind intact. And once he does that, he then creates a vessel in which to store all his power while he tries this crazy experiment. And then there's nothing left to do but give it a try. So he sends what's left of his essence into the machine. We see him become a baby, mature to a child, an adult, and he's eventually born. And he says, and now I am my own son, and immediately starts panicking. Oh no, I never dreamed it would be like this. No! And he runs over, he sticks his hands into the semi-permeable membrane at the base of the vessel that's controlling all his power. And the awesome power literally burns away his frail newborn body in an instant. But he's got his power back, so he's easily able to recreate himself to his previously human-looking form. And he once again rejoices at his omnipotence. Meanwhile, back in the apartment of Owen Reese and Marsha Rosenberg, the Molecule Man's all right. And they have a reunion where the Molecule Man basically tells Marsha that he realized that once he collapsed and felt hopeless and worthless and incomplete without her, he realized that that's not the right kind of relationship to have. If you are nothing without somebody else, then you're not worthwhile on your own. And so he decided that he would try to feel strong on his own and to feel complete on his own. He didn't have anything to lose. And so he said it seemed easier to quit than to do that, but he didn't. And he knows that two people who aren't okay being on their own aren't really any good together deep down. So it seems like he's learned a lesson that the Beyonder has been unable to learn, and he's learned it much more quickly. So they reconcile, they're very happy. And the Molecule Man then says, but I do need to save the world. We need to go. And Marsha's like, where? Why can't someone else do it? All those heroes or those beings, Eternity and Eon and the Living Tribunal, why can't they do it? And Marsha and Molecule Man says, they're afraid now. None of them would dare get involved. I'm going to have to do this alone if necessary. So back at the Beyonder's headquarters, he's thinking about what a rush it was. It was terrifying and exhilarating. He was aging. Every breath seemed like an event. Every second was unique. It's like it was unbearable. And yet the oppressive sameness of every moment in this form is unbearable. The fact that he doesn't really feel anything, doesn't feel the passage of time. And so there is something to be said for being mortal. So he says, I've got to try it again. So he goes through the process. He empties out his energy into the vessel. He goes through. He's born, and this time he doesn't have the panic. Instead, he experiments with experiencing different things. He tries to lift the vessel that's holding all his power, and he thinks, oh, I can't lift it no matter how hard I try. I have limits. He's sweating. He needs to watch out so he doesn't get overheated or pull a muscle. And then he thinks, what's it like to be out of breath? Let's see. And he starts running. And he's like, wow, that's no day at the beach. Maybe next time I'll... And before he can finish that thought, Mephisto shows up with all of his servants. And he sensed that the Beyonder was vulnerable. And so he came here to kill him once and for all. And the Beyonder's scared of all these monsters that Mephisto's attacking him with. And he's begging, don't, please. And Mephisto says, please, you polite worm, you cost me dearly. And now that you're mortal, I'm finally going to have an end to you, and I have no mercy. So for you that threatened all of existence, something so vile as a punishment is in order. And he thinks about boiling him in bile or letting razor vines grow through his flesh. But then he decides, ah, maggots. I'll let you be eaten by maggots. And he literally vomits maggots onto the Beyonder. And the Beyonder's thinking, this can't be real. And Mephisto says, oh, yes, it can. But the Beyonder stops and gathers his thoughts and realizes, no, you don't have any power in this realm, Mephisto, not on this dimensional plane. You're a liar and a deceiver, and all this has to be illusion. You can only hurt me if I believe you can hurt me. So he runs through all the monsters. They're not really there, and Mephisto's literally blocking the vessel. But, you know, Mephisto's not exactly the kind for physical altercation. So the Beyonder kind of shoves him aside. And then Mephisto summons flames to surround the vessel. And although the Beyonder sticks his hand in and seems to feel and see that it's burned away, he knows again that it's merely an illusion. So once the Beyonder is able to reach his power and feel restored, he turns to destroy Mephisto, but Mephisto's gone. And he thinks, you know what? So what? There's nowhere he can hide from me. I'll find him later. I have many enemies. All the mighty of this multiverse fear me. And if I become mortal again, where can I hide from them? I want to be mortal. I want to experience this, but I also want to have peace and I can't let myself be annihilated. So what else can I do? At that moment on the surface, all the heroes are gathered and they can, Rachel Summers has sensed where the Beyonder is. He's 8 or 9 miles below them. And so Spider-Man says, well, break out the picks and the shovels. And Black Knight says, there's got to be an easier way for us to get down there. And at that moment, the Molecule Man appears and says, I can get us down there. And Wolverine's not convinced that this is the best thing to do. Neither is Hawkeye. But Reed Richards says, he's right. This may be our only chance. It's a small one, but we've got to take it. And so the Beyonder actually has a plan for how to become mortal and but still retain some of his power, enough of his power so that he'll have access to the rest of his power and he won't be threatened by all the powerful beings in the Marvel Universe if he becomes human again. But he needs more time. Now that Owen Reese is there and he knows that Owen Reese himself has nearly omnipotent power but manages to be human and manages to feel fulfilled and learn lessons like we saw him do earlier in this issue. That's what the Beyonder wants. But the fact that these heroes are there and about to attack, he doesn't have time to make the adjustments he needs to the Mama Machine. So he sees the New Mutants there and decides that he'll send the New Mutants up to fight the heroes as a distraction. So he sends them up and they start fighting the heroes. And remember, the heroes don't recognize the New Mutants. The New Mutants were not only erased from existence, but from everybody's memory as well. So they don't recognize them. They start to fight. And the heroes do realize that this is probably a ploy from the Beyonder to stop them. They don't realize that it's just a ploy to delay. So eventually the heroes are able to defeat the New Mutants. And they head down to the cavern where the Mama Machine exists. Just as the Beyonder has finished all his adjustments, but now he's not going to have time to go into the machine. As the heroes start to attack, and he's trying to explain to them, you don't understand, I'm not going to destroy the universe anymore, I don't want to, I'm not here to kill you, but the heroes, they're not listening. They're just trying to fight the Beyonder and stop him. They're dogpiling on them, and he eventually loses his temper. And says, you're all such buttheads. All right, so be it. And he knocks them all out with the exception of Molecule Man. And the Beyonder says, so much for the small change. You sure you want it this way, Owen? And it seems like he's once again decided to destroy all of existence. So the Molecule Man literally goes toe-to-toe and hand-to-hand with him. But the Beyonder still is trying to get somebody to listen to him, someone to talk to him. He says, if you just listen to me, maybe I could convince you otherwise that I'm not a danger. And Molecule Man doesn't want to hear it. He said, you know, I'm convinced that all you care about is you. You're a selfish god. You have no redeeming qualities. Either you die or we die. So these two mightiest beings in all of existence are pitting their powers against each other. And every creature on every planet in every dimension of the multiverse feels the tremors from this battle. So meanwhile, the heroes start to recover from the blow that the Beyonder used to knock them all unconscious, and they're piling on trying to help the Molecule Man out. And it seems from their perspective that the Molecule Man is holding his own, but he tells them, no, I'm not actually. I'm canceling out some of his power and weakening him so that your strength might be able to affect him, but I don't know how much longer I can hold on. And the heroes again say it's working, and Molecule Man says, no, I'm exhausted. I'm not like you people. I'm not cut out for heroics. And that doubt allows the Beyonder to get the upper hand. And he says, you had a chance. It's unbelievable that you did, but that chance is now over. And he throws the Molecule Man across the universe, and he says, you're all history. And the force of this blow from the Beyonder rends the earth and space, destroying everything in its path. We see that there's the very crust of the earth is cracked, where once the Rocky Mountains stood is just a fissure, a scar on the face of the planet. And the Beyonder's annoyed. He's like, what a bother. Now I've got to stabilize the orbit of the planet and keep the crust from shifting because of the sudden loss of mass and deal with all these other problems, plus make sure the Mama Machine's okay. And a few minutes later, finally, he's able to put himself into the machine again, saying, I couldn't bear being in this form another second. I've always had omnipotence, now I'll have humanity too. And again, he's setting it up in such a way that he'll be mortal and he'll be human, but he'll still have access to this infinite power. So he goes into the machine. The bulk of his power is diverted and stored within the vessel, and he becomes born again as a small child going through this mama machine. Meanwhile, in the rubble, the heroes actually were able to survive. The Invisible Woman was able to erect a shield at the last moment, and the Molecule Man was actually able to hold back just a little bit of his strength. He says, it's a good thing I'm not as heroic as you all are. If I had, I would have been giving my all and burned myself out against the Beyonder, but I was holding on just a little bit of strength, and that allowed me to shield us all. So I've also removed every living thing from the death blast path. They're all in stasis. They're all in subspace. I'll bring them back when I get a chance. And Captain America's surprised. He's like, how's this even possible? It's beyond belief. And Molecule Man says, I transact on power levels unimaginable to you, Captain America. And the Beyonder is even on levels unimaginable to me. He's so much more powerful than I am. I thought that I was close to his equal, but I'm not. And everything I've done to try to stop him has cost me dearly. I hurt badly. And Phoenix says, well, that's all right, Molecule Man. We can take it from here. It's a straight shot through the air instead of miles of rock. I can get us back there and into the Beyonder's hideout. And she does that quickly. And they look around for him. They can't find him. They find him in the machine. With Reed Richards saying, there, that must be him. He looks like he's growing a new body for himself. I wonder why. And Molecule Man says, who cares? He's vulnerable. Let's kill him. And Marcia's like, kill a baby? And then there's a debate on some of the heroes. Some of them say it doesn't seem right. Some of them say we must do what we must do. Reed's trying to convince everybody that they need to understand what's taking place there. Wonder Man's like, we're taking a risk and he could be back at any second. Marcia's trying to convince the Molecule Man not to kill him, and he's telling her that this could be their only chance. Meanwhile, Spider-Man says, hey, everybody, get away from that thing. My spider sense is going crazy. The machine must have automatic defenses. And at that moment, the machine explodes. And they realize that they should all be dead. But again, with the warning from Spider-Man, both the Molecule Man and the Invisible Woman were able to erect shields. The Invisible Woman's actually passed out from the strain. And that's convinced the heroes. They're like, we've got to destroy this machine before it explodes again. That explosion was the equivalent of a large nuke, and it could happen again. And we can't risk that. But Reed again tells everybody, we can't do it. We don't understand what's going on here. There's a child there, and we don't understand what could happen if we tamper with the process. It could be another explosion. All the power of the Beyonder that's contained in the device could escape and in one blinding flash destroy all of existence. There's no safe way to interrupt the process. Let's just see what happens and try to reason with the Beyonder who emerges from the machine. So while he's holding back the heroes, we see a blast come from another angle. And Owen Reese, the Molecule Man, has destroyed the machine, and he says he must die. And Reed Richards says, are you mad? Don't you realize what you've done? As the machine starts to spew out all its power, and the baby is screaming in agony, and there's a giant flash of blinding white light. And as Reed Richards expected, all of existence seems to be wiped out. But just as it seems there's nothing left of existence, we see it begin to reform. And the heroes are surprised. They're like, hey, the world's still here. What happened? And Reed says, I'm not sure. Let's figure it out later. Let's find the child. And seconds later, Silver Surfer has him in his hands and says the baby's dead. And the heroes certainly don't look like they've achieved a victory. They're all a bit grief-stricken and forlorn. And even Molecule Man himself looks very sad and tells Marcia, I'm sorry. It had to be this way. And Marcia says, I guess I don't really understand, but I'll get over it. I love you. And Owen reciprocates the feelings. And Captain America asks to have a word. and says, you know, it doesn't take a genius like Mr. Fantastic to figure out that you somehow prevented the end, the ultimate end of everything, and I wish there'd been another way. And Owen Reese says, you know, I do too, Captain America. You don't know what it costs me. I push myself way too far. I'm torn up inside. No doctor can help a being like me. I may never recover. The Beyonder's dead, and that's too bad, but all in all, it's a happier ending than you know. And you just wonder, I mean, the level of ability and power that Molecule Man has, shouldn't he be able to, like, heal himself? So that's yet to be determined. Meanwhile, somewhere beyond time and space and the myriad dimensions of the multiverse, we see that the Beyonder's power is leaking back into a portal from our universe into the beyond. So I would take that to be the Beyonder's universe, and all his power leaks back in there. And this time it finds no resistance, and it doesn't fill the void and encompass the void. And it's not a return to the way things were before the Beyonder found a little pinhole view into our universe. Instead, life arises. Planets arise, life evolves and flourishes. Mortal beings live their finite lives, giving meaning to the infinity in which they dwell. So in this way, thus finally is the desire of the one from beyond fulfilled. So it's an interesting take on what could happen here. You know, matter and energy can neither be created nor destroyed. And so all this energy, all this power of the Beyonder, maybe he never really was a being, as he himself speculated. Maybe he was just power. Maybe he was just, in his own way, life itself that became sentient through viewing our multiverse and modeled himself after the life that he observed. And, you know, we know the struggle he had. He was never able to find happiness or fulfillment or completeness. He seemed plagued by desire and incompleteness and never felt a part of anything. And so with that desire and knowledge and having observed being human and even being mortal himself for a few short minutes, perhaps when his energy, that energy that used to be the Beyonder, went back to his universe, it mimicked what he had seen before. It's an interesting thing to think about. I'm sure that Shooter never planned on coming back to this character. We know that the Beyonder story is not done, and we're going to read more about it as we continue the Marvel chronology, focusing on Secret Wars and all those different kind of stories. So there are a few tie-ins to Issue 9. It's not quite over yet. The astounding epilogue to this and the most cosmic saga of all time takes place in Avengers 266. So I'll be covering that on next week's episode, as well as I think New Mutants 38 is worth a read now that the New Mutants have been recreated. So it's the end of the Secret Wars 2 event for the most part. I still can't say that it's particularly good. It does start out kind of fun and over the top, but it does become somewhat of a slog, and it kind of bogs down in the middle and toward the end. Again, as I've said all along, I think that some of the big ideas that Shooter introduced are really interesting, and he probably does the best of exploring those ideas in this issue, the last issue, but it's still not enough to save the overall event. It needed to be written differently, honestly. But again, this is of its time, mid-80s. I think if you were to tell this story again today, you could explore those ideas, those big ideas, a little more, rather than just having them be kind of on the surface and end up with a much more interesting story, and a story that could resonate with readers. So this was kind of, here's these ideas, it's up to you to explore them on your own, but we're going to try to make a fun superhero comic and have a lot of action. So it does work on that level, but again, as I've said on past episodes of Secret Wars Saturday, the other problem with this story, Secret Wars 2, is it's a Beyonder story, right? That's the main character, as opposed to Secret Wars 2, which was really or Secret Wars 1, rather, that was really a story about the heroes, about characters that we know and that we like and that resonate with readers. Instead of Secret Wars 2 being a Beyonder story, unlikable character, people don't really know who he is and they're not invested. So it almost was doomed to failure from the start. I just don't know how this story could have worked. If Spider-Man had been showing him the ropes all along, I mean, it's just hard to tell. I think, unfortunately, as I said, it was doomed from the start, doomed from conception, being that it was the story of somebody that just wasn't, it wasn't even that he's unknown. It's that he was so unlikable throughout the story. And that might be why the earlier issues are a little more enjoyable, because he is more naive and innocent and you're watching him discover things. But once you get to like issue 4 and 5 and he becomes really whiny and so self-centered and just unlikable, you know, it makes it tough to root for him or really care what happens to him. You know, he's constantly complaining and, why can't I find fulfillment? And, you know, nobody wants to read that. And the other thing is that none of the other heroes really, with the possible exception of Spider-Man, really took the time to try to relate to him. That might have given us a touchstone and made him more relatable. And the growth we see from the Beyonder is so inconsistent as well. And when you bring in the tie-ins where you've got other writers writing him and his personality wildly fluctuates from crossover to crossover, it really did make it tough to kind of pin down and understand who the Beyonder was. So all in all, I wouldn't recommend going out of your way to spend money to read this, but if you have like Marvel Unlimited or something and it's available and it doesn't cost you anything more, or you can pick up a trade of it really cheaply. I don't even know if there is a Secret Wars 2 trade, to be honest with you. I would kind of tend to doubt it, but if you could read it cheaply, it's worth a read. I don't think you need to go and read all the crossovers. I think you can, if you want to understand it, you can just read probably the main story and understand what's going on. The first few issues, probably 3 issues, I'd say, are pretty fun, and then after that, it gets kind of pretty mediocre. So, anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening as always. Please tell your friends about us, subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All 3 spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.